Everyone, welcome to the Solar and Storage Market Series. My name is Erez Dolev and I'm the Managing Director here at Renvu. Today we are going to be hearing from John Lavelle, a Regional Sales Manager, and Hatim Alimani, an Application Engineer at Solectria, about their American-made XGI 1500, sorry, series with 125 kilowatt through 250 kilowatt inverters. Then their TL series of PVI 25K through 60K, rapid shutdown solutions, monitoring, and bill of materials considerations. One thing to know about Solectria, this is a company that is focusing on commercial. So we will not talk about any residential products here. It's exciting, a little different than usual. We see an increase in CNI projects that are coming through distribution. And Solectria became a more significant partner for us than ever before. While we're waiting for more people to join us, I'll start talking a little bit about Renvu, which is a US-based solar equipment distributor. We have been in the industry since 2012, and we currently have fulfillment facilities in California, New Jersey, and Texas. Our sales staff all have backgrounds within engineering or solar installation. A few products quickly to spotlight here. We carry the whole solar portfolio and can beat any price you see out there. And we have batteries from Home Grid, Fortress, and more manufacturers that can be paired with these inverters. We recently had a webinar with Lumen Smart Panels, and we carry their outdoor and indoor modules on the shelf. This is a great device to add to a solar storage project since it allows you to use the existing main and sub panels and control the loads remotely during power outage, or set rules for which loads will continue to work and which ones will be dropped. We currently have a promotion offering $150 off any Lumen device you purchase. We have plenty of Zenshine 405 black modules, which we are offering at 16 cents per watt when you're buying them with Bleakir car ports. We also carry the Hyperion 575 watt high efficiency modules. It's a TOPCon N type. These are starting at 26 cents per watt. We have the whole portfolio of Enphase IQ8 series and offering the IQ8 H, M, and Plus at great pricing right now and giving the trunk cable for only $9. Growatt released their EV chargers, which are UL certified and have 50 amp output, which is significant. And if you're looking for T-gaskets to make a solar array, usually on carports, watertight, Bleakir has several options for different module gap size. So you can see one on the right here as a T-gasket. This is really popular recently. Here's our bulk module price list for large volume options and our upcoming offering of solar modules. We carry Zenshine, Canadian Solar, Hyundai, Hyperion, REC. All our brands are Bloomberg Tier 1. We're sharing in the chat a link to this page. We update it regularly so you can stay up to date with our latest deals and bulk orders and availability and pricing. I'll take a minute to also mention the Bleakir residential carport. This is a great way to expand existing solar systems or an alternative solution where you cannot install solar on a roof. And when a customer is looking for more added values, it is designed and to be assembled by a small team. It doesn't require any specialized or heavy machinery to install. This is a solar structure, so it's eligible for the 30% ITC. And possibly the extra 10% for US made products. It is modules and inverters agnostic, and it is designed and fabricated in the US and made from US sourced galvanized steel. And it comes with 25 years warranty. Bleakir just came out with an off-grid option that includes 24 residential black panels, inverters, a capacity of 12 kilowatt, and a battery bank of 10 kilowatt, which can be kilowatt hour, sorry, that can be upgraded if needed more than that. The structure is coming with a structural engineer PE stamp. You can install up to 24 solar modules with four columns of six modules. The two-car carport, like you see here, will generate approximately 10 kilowatt of DC power. You can use residential and commercial modules with it, with load capacities up to 48 pound per square foot of snow, 215 miles per hour wind load, and seismic design category F. One last item to go over before we get started is our solar design and quote tool. You will find it at the top of our homepage on renvu.com. You can generate as many quotes as you need in a couple minutes without the need to wait for a sales engineer to do that for you. And it's available 24/7, always updated with the latest products and pricing. After you select the components you want to see in your quote, I chose here Hyperion 545 as a module. And racking system from wide range of options, tilted, flat, ground mount, and carports. I chose the flat roof and ballasted option. I'm creating two arrays. First array with three rows of 40 modules in landscape, and then the second array with one row of 100 modules in landscape. Actually, this is. Okay. And on the left, you can see how pricing is changing as I'm and quantities and bill of material as I'm making changes to the number of modules. Or here I'm toggling between Iron Ridge and KB racking for the rails, and you can see how pricing is changing accordingly. Then you choose your inverter type from microinverters, optimizer, and string inverters. I'm selecting string inverters and no storage option to get the commercial options. I'll select the three-phase option, and we'll get several options of select three combinations right here. And then I'll select two PVI 50 for the system with AP Smart Rapid Shutdown devices. Right here on the left side, you will see all the bill of materials building up, and then you, when you logged in, you will to your account, the prices will actually be your prices. Okay, on the next page, I added a couple modules spare, and then at the end, you save the quote to your account and get a quote to your email. After generating the code, the quote, the system will take you to the quote page under My Account. So you can make changes, save as PDF, place an order. You can also email our sales engineers at info@renvu, and our team will review the bill of materials and weigh in with insight if we can save money here or anything needs a change. Where am I? Sorry. Okay. If you have any questions about these products, about Solectria, while Hatem and John are presenting, please feel free to ask in the Q&A section, and we will get to the questions at the end of the webinar and during the Q&A session. You can also email our sales team at info@renvu.com for more information and pricing. This webinar is being recorded, and we will send you a link in a follow-up email. And we also have recordings of previous webinars on the Renvu YouTube channel. As I mentioned, all participants, sorry, no, actually, this is not an upset a webinar. Without further ado, I will hand it over to Hatem.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Erez and Hatem, if you want to Bring up the slides. We can get going here. So want to thank our partner, distribution partner Renvu. We've been working with them for, wow, I think ever since they started distributing solar projects, solar products. And lots of exciting things happening here at Yaskawa Electria Solar. We're celebrating two anniversaries, 10 years since Yaskawa acquired us, and 20 years since Solectria was founded. So big, lots of celebrations going on over here at the Yaskawa Electria Solar side. And today we're going to share with you some talk a little bit about commercial inverters and a couple 1500 volt inverters. And today's agenda, briefly talked about it, but we're going to just tell you a little bit about Yaskawa Electria Solar, and then I'm going to jump into our 1500 volt American-made inverters, which will help get to the 10% bonus adder from the Inflation Reduction Act. These are single power point tracking inverters for ground mount systems only. So it's very important. Can't use 1500 volt on rooftops per the NEC. Then we'll turn it over to our applications engineer, Hatam Alamani, and he will talk about the 1000 volt inverters and how to achieve rapid shutdown using the integrated transmitter via AP Smart or the new NEC code, the new UL 3741. Couple slides on monitoring. Creating a project bomb, we can help you with that. And then we got a slide on some repowering that can be problematic and that you should know about, that it's not just an inverter replacement. And then just the service and resources available to publicly available to all the installers. So really quickly, Yaskawa, Solectria is a wholly owned subsidiary of Yaskawa America, and Yaskawa America is a wholly owned subsidiary of Yaskawa Electric Corporation. And Yaskawa is divided up into three divisions. We've got the drives, the motion, and the robotics. The common denominator with all those things is power electronics. The solar electric inverters fall into the drives division, and that's the solar inverter division of Yaskawa America. So next slide, just like who is Yaskawa? This is the important takeaways from this slide is globally we had turnover just shy of $5 billion. They've been manufacturing power electronics for more than 100 years. So what you have is an experienced, diversified global manufacturer with almost 15,000 employees, or we call them associates, worldwide. So lots of different products, and this is what Solectria sells and what we're going to focus on today. This is a snapshot of our offering. As you'll notice, there's three segments in the solar business. There's residential single phase, which we don't participate in at all. And then there's the utility segment. And then there's the C&I or commercial segment. So we service those two segments. And I'm going to talk right now about the 1500 volt utility scale inverters, which range from 125 kW on up to 250 kW. And we're seeing more and more of these inverters and these types of projects coming through distribution. The projects that installers are doing and purchasing distribution are increasing year over year. And then Hatem is going to turn it over to Hatem to talk about the 1000 volt three-phase string inverters, which are not manufactured in the United States, but are good for rooftops, carports, maybe small ground mounts. So that is what we're going to talk about today. So let's just jump into the XGI 1500 utility scale inverters. A lot of your customers, a lot of the end users, they're very interested in achieving The American made, whether that's something that people just want in their solar system or not, you get a lot of questions about, do you have American made? And when it comes to inverters, there's not a lot of choice. But with Solectria's XGI 1500 volt inverters for ground mounts, you can use these and the cost of these inverters to contribute in a positive way to achieving the percent required to gain the adder, the 10% tax adder. So here's a snapshot of the lineup. You see the first six machines from left to right all have a native AC output of 600 volts. These absolutely require a transformer to hit whatever medium voltage you'll be connecting on the AC side. And then, which the two machines on the right-hand side of this slide might be the two most interesting for Renvu installer customers, in that the 175 and the 200 have a native AC output of 480 volts. So what that means is that you can do a ground mount right into a load with 1500 volts with no need for a transformer. So you can save money and save on installation costs by using many fewer inverters. And I would say that these are the two most popular machines that are being sold through the solar distribution channel. And the reason is because a lot of the 1000-volt machines don't get much bigger than 60 or 80 kW. And as you know, the more inverters that you have, the more expensive the installation is. So here's the percent of domestic content for the different series of inverters. You have the 166 series with arc fault and the arc fault option, and those are at 55%. So they're all very close in each other, but again, they contribute in a positive way to getting to that 40%. And here's the 250 series. With what I mentioned before, with the 480 and the 200 480 and the 175 480. So we also offer a full line of combiner boxes to support these inverters. We don't sell the combiner boxes without being paired with inverters, but there's a whole suite of combiner boxes to meet the need of the DC plant. So you can use one less vendor by pairing combiner boxes along with the inverters, and we can help you select the proper one, once the DC plant is designed, to about 80 or 90%, then you can accurately pick the combiner box. So just kind of in summary of the offer, we have full line of string combiners. We also have power rack solutions, so you can get up to 2 MW on a single rack with an AC combiner on it. What this does is reduces your labor in the field, and it's becoming very popular for that reason. We have advanced communications. All the inverters speak Modbus. The power ratings there, like again, 125 up to 250. And all these inverters are CEC listed, UL 1741 SB. All the things, codes, and compliances that you need to build a system, we are compliant. So that's the offer. Now, to summarize again, just the competitive advantages here. We have the highest loading ratio in the industry, from 2.0 to 2.86. So that means you can overload these inverters to twice the nameplate. So 100, so 200 kW inverter can take 400 kW of DC modules. They come in 600 volt output or 480. They're rated for any environment that you're going to be selling into, negative 40 C to 60 C. So we don't have different inverters for different harsh environments. And then we have the most reactive power capacity in the industry with kVA overhead. Sometimes the utilities require you to have reactive power, and you can rest assured that these inverters can provide that and meet the utility requirements. We also, all these inverters have integrated in AC and DC disconnects. There's a couple of our competitors that do not have these integrated disconnects. And that what that means is that you have to get an external box that sits next to the inverter to meet the code. And that adds to installation costs and adds more hardware to the installation. So with the Yaskawa machines, you have integrated DC and AC disconnects. So I think that that's the last slide. And I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Hatem Alamani, applications engineer, more than 10 years of experience in the industry. And he's going to talk to a little with us a little about our three-phase 1,000-volt inverters for carports and rooftops specifically, and floating solar as well.
Thank you, John. Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. So I understand that most of the installation that you are focusing on is going to be the 1,000-volt rooftop, ground mount, and carport installations. And that's why we're going to focus on and give you a little bit more detail. I'll discuss some of the issues or some of the questions that arises and we always receive from installers. And please, if you have any questions, just leave your comments down below and we'll get to it in our Q&A. So our TL transformers, our TL inverters are... Our TL inverters, of course, they are transformerless inverter and they are ungrounded inverter. We have two different output voltages. We have the 25TL, which is a 208. This is a very, very popular inverter. A lot of different manufacturers, they kind of shied away from the 208 volt market, but we offer the 25TL inverter. It has three MPBTs and it can take up to five string pair MPBT. And we'll talk about that in detail in the future because that's one of the issues that we are noticing with our installers or our customers. Also, we have 480 volt AC and we have the 25, 36, 50, and 60. Other than the size of the inverter, the difference in the size of the inverter, we also have the top two, 50 and 60s. Those are the only two models that comes with a reactive power overhead. Some utilities will require overhead for reactive power at some times. And if you don't have an overhead, then the reactive power could eat into the nameplate rating. And as you know, like our customers and all the end user, they only get paid for kilowatt hours. And when you're introducing reactive power, you're not going to get paid for that. So that's why we have those two models with an overhead. So even if the utility is requesting overhead reactive power, you can just provide that to the utility without eating and without reducing anything of your nameplate rating. Also, it's worth to mention that our 36TL, it's a new version, it's 2V. And that inverter is particularly interesting because it has one of the lowest VMP range. The sweet spot of the inverter is very low. It started at 400 volt DC. And we'll discuss later when we talk about a repowering project because this inverter becomes very interesting when we talk about repowering projects. And as John mentioned, these are 1,000 volt DC inverters. So you can use them on rooftop, carport, and ground application if you need. Of course, if you're using it on a rooftop, then you'll need to pair it with rapid shutdown devices, and we'll discuss that in detail as well. All these inverters, of course, they are UL 7341 SP certified and California Rule 21 listed as well. And they have all those smart grid features that the utility might ask for. And now all the information about how to control the inverter, about how to derate the inverter, for example, if the utility will need a derating later, we can offer that as well. And all this information, you'll find it in our installation manual. Our installation manual for those inverter basically covers all the information. There is an additional Modbus map. If you need to communicate with those inverter remotely through a third party monitoring system or a DAS, then you'll probably need the Modbus command, and that's why we have it separate just for those cases. All those documents, of course, are available online in our website. So this is basically a quick summary about our inverters, some of the specification. Efficiency is 98.5 CEC efficiency. And as we mentioned, the 50 and 60s, they have 3 MBBTs. Each MBBT can take up to 5 strings. So it could be a 15 strings in total. Of course, most of the cases, you're not going to be able to populate all the strings because you're going to exceed power limit or current limit. We have a standard AC and DC disconnect built in. And also, Always Inverter will communicate using Modbus SunPick compliant, TCP over IP, and RS-485. I mentioned Rule 25 and UL 1741. And for rapid shutdown devices, we are compatible with AP Smart rapid shutdown devices, and all of our wiring boxes will have PLC power line communication transmitter that will communicate with the rapid shutdown devices on the roof. It's worth mentioning here that all of our PV line product, that PVI product, they're basically two components. The upper component, as you see right here, is that's the power head. That's where all the logics and all the switching from DC to AC happens. And at the bottom, there is the wiring box. And so when you purchase our inverters, make sure that those two components are delivered to the field, because without the wiring box, you're not going to be able to land your strings, and you're not going to be able to have the rapid shutdown requirement. So it's a two part to the product, and you're not going to be able to work with just the power hood without the wiring box. So that's a very important thing, because I see a lot, some of our customers will try to reduce the cost a little bit and not get the power head, the wiring box, and then they end up not able to use the inverters. The 36 TL is the same thing, 3 MBBTs and 15 string in total. Another thing that worth mentioning also is that all these inverters are mountable from 15 to 90 degree in an irritation. And we also have a roof mounting kit that will allow you to put the inverter on the roof on a tilt angle. Of course, if you are putting the inverter on the roof and they're exposed directly to sunlight, then you would want to get a shade cover to reduce the temperature of the inverter, and to avoid having some derating, some deration of the production because of high temperature of the inverter, because the inverter are going to protect themselves, and they're going to throttle down if the temperature is exceeded the safe limits. And this is the 25. The 25480 is a little bit different because it only has 2 MBBTs, and there's 3 strings per MBBT. The rest is very similar to the rest of our inverter offering. And this is finally the 208 inverter. The only 208 inverter that we offer is the 25TL. Again, 3 MBBTs and 5 strings per MBBT. All these inverters will have similar AC to DC ratio. And for example, this inverter will go to 1.8. Some of our inverter will go to 1.5. And the way, just to understand this, is just if you're using our design tool, which we're going to discuss at the end, if you're using the design tool is not going to allow you to exceed the DC to AC ratio spec for each inverter. So that's going to be the easiest way for you to make sure that you're not exceeding the DC to AC ratio limitation for the inverter. Another a question that I usually get from our customer, and sometimes we get the end user contacting us and let us know that the inverter is not producing as promised, or believe that the inverter is underproducing. And what we found out is that some of these issues are stringing mismatch. I'll discuss the stringing mismatch and the MBBT. So whenever you are installing and whenever you're using our inverters, even if the design is dictating that you put 2 strings with 2 different number of modules on the same MBBT, I encourage you to red flag it and stop the work and just contact us or contact the project designer. Because as you see here, each MBBT actually can be treated as a separate inverter, like theoretically. So for each MBBT, we'll have all the strings in the MBBT. They all need have be have to have the same length, the same number of modules, the same module type in term of wattage and in term of brand, and so we can just make sure that there is no mismatch there. If we use two different modules or different manufacturer, or if you use two strings with different number of modules, we'll say one string is 15 and one string is 14 or 13 in the same MBT, then as you see here in the graph, we're gonna have some losses. So let's assume that we have one branch of 11 modules, and the maximum power for this string is supposed to be 2.9, and then we have another branch which is 12 modules, and the maximum power point is supposed to be through 3.2. Now, if we put those the first string we put are in MBBT one and the second string in MBBT two, we're perfect. We're going to get the maximum power out of the two strings. But if we put the two strings in one MBBT, then we're going to have some voltage mismatch, and our maximum power tracking tower is going to be skewed, and that will reduce the overall production. So we see here this could cause up to 1.2% of losses that we can easily avoid. Of course, this is just a small example of 11 and 12 modules. If we go all the way to 16, 17 modules, this issue will increase, and the losses will increase as well. So the most important thing is that in the same MBBT, we really have to make sure that the string length are the same and we are using the same exact modules. Not only the string length and the same exact modules, also the orientation of that of the modules on the MBBT, they all have to be say facing the same azimuth. So that's one of the issues that we usually get asked from our installer. The second issue is you have to always make sure to distribute all the PV string evenly among the MBBTs. So if you see this picture here, this is a really bad this is a really bad practice. We see that there is 10 strings and they are all just packed in MBBT one and MBBT two. And you can see here on top, MBBT three is just empty doing nothing. So what happens here is that with doing this, you're basically cut the nameplate rating of your inverter two-thirds. So if you're using a 60K, your inverter became a 40K a kilowatt inverter. And if you are putting 70 or 80 kilowatt DC of solar, then your inverter is just going to be limiting at 40, and then you'll be losing at least 20 kilowatt of potential production there. So the easy solution here is just to distribute it equally. So we have, let's say, three and four strings. This way, you'll be able to maximize the inverter, and then this way, your inverter should be providing you with the full 60 kilowatt. So this is an issue that we get usually from end users telling us, "Hey, I have a 60 kilowatt inverter, but the inverter is only producing 40 kilowatt. What's going on?" And as soon as we open the wiring box and take a picture of it, we see this practice, and that they are all jammed in just two MBBTs, and just basically the third MBBTs is not being used. So we always recommend distributing it. Now, of course, they're not going to be equal. You're not most of the time you're not going to be able to put two on each MBBT. So what we recommend also is that try as much as possible to have the difference in the number of the strings per MBBT limited to one. So we let's say 3-3-2 or 3-2-2. It's just like not more than one string per MBBT difference between the two. Between all the MBBTs. So yeah, those are basically two major questions that we get from our customers and our end users. In order to avoid these issues, you can easily use our PV System Builder. It's an online tool where you can basically input the information here, as you see. Like for example, you input the modules manufacturers. And then the model number, the wattage of the module. If for any reason you can't find this, you can't find the modules you're using here, Let's say it's just really a brand new module that we don't have here. You can send it to us. You can send a request to bvbuilder@selector.com or send a request to AppEng or just contact me directly. Provide the spec sheet, the data sheet for the inverter, and I'll be able to add the module to our database. Now, if you happen to use a bifacial module, then by default, we will add the bifacial gain at 10%. But if you know for a fact that the module they are using is going to be producing more than that, so you can request and tell us that you want a 15%, 20%, or even 25% bifacial gain, then we'll add these values to our design tool. Mostly, you will find the same module with a bifacial gain of 10 and 20 and 15. The default, as they say, is 10, so you'll always find the 10. But if you can't find that, you can request the additional bifacial gain from us, and we'll add it. After that, you'll just put the temperature limitation of your installation area. These are very important because based on this temperature, the voltages and the current information are going to be adjusted per NAC cord. And that will let us know how many modules we can put on the string. So these two values are very, very important. And then basically, you can select the mounting method. This is also going to add a little bit of changes on the voltages of the modules based on if you're using, if it's on top of the roof, then there's going to be an additional factor that we have to add for the temperature based on the NEC requirement. And then this range is a very important range, and I will discuss it a little bit after I give a complete the example. I'll tell you why this is important, because this will provide you with more options. If you just leave it at 11, 13, then these are the only stringing options. But if you change it, as you see in the second, in the next slide, you will get more options in terms of stringing. After that, you'll use you select the voltage. So if you have a 480 volt grid, three phase, and you select the inverter you want to use, and click on the I have predetermined conditions. These are just it's notice for you to understand that this tool is here to assist you on the design. Does not mean that these are the tool that you need to use to take the stringing and just run with it. The engineer of record or the designer need to review this and make sure that the values are correct. Sometimes there's a small different factors in the side that will affect the number of modules in the string, and that's why this is just a starting point in the design, not the final point. So as soon as you show result, the tool is going to provide you with options. As you see here, the tool is only going to provide option for one MVPT. And then you can do the same on the other MVPT or use different recommendation on the other MVPTs. So here, let's assume that we have one string of 19, two of 10, and two of 11. So you can basically go and say, oh, MVPT 1, I'm going to put 211, MVPT 2, I'm going to put 210, and then MVPT 3, I'm going to put 119. But the most important thing here to look at is the VMP hot and VMP cold. You don't really want to see anything with a warning size sign here on those two columns. Of course, for VOC, we're not going to recommend anything that it will exceed 1,000 volts. So you will sign, or you'll see all these values below 1,000 volts. But when it comes to VMB cold and VMB hot, these warnings mean that the maximum power voltage for the string is actually either lower or higher than the maximum power voltage of the inverter. We always need to have the string land in the middle of the sweet spot of the inverter, in the middle of the maximum power voltage, in order to have the inverter producing its maximum power. If your string is lower or higher than then the inverter is going to derate. And the more you're far from the VMP, the more the derating happen, it increases. And this is something that you can easily avoid. So that's why we recommend our customer to just avoid this as much as possible, because these are losses that supposed to be avoided by just switching the design and increasing the number of the string of the modules. So this is one example. Let's see what happened now if we change the SDC power range and increased it a little bit to 15 to 18 kilowatt per MPPT. Now we see that there is other options here. So that we have two strings of 15, two string of 14, two string of 13. We don't see any warnings here because we added more modules. So the VMP per string is actually within the VMP level of the inverter. So we are good there. We're not going to have unnecessary derating. But as you see here, we have another warning here that is 1200 limited. This is okay. This is basically just to let you know that your DC to AC ratio is higher than 1.0. Now, there is so many reasons where we want to go higher than 1.0. The standard that I've seen from most of the designer, depending on the installation area, like here in California, they would like to go all the way up to 1.2, 1.25, sometimes 1.3. And that depends on the design, the designer, and the installation requirement. Like if the overall production is what they're looking for, so they will use higher values. If they need more production during the morning hours, or they need more production during the late afternoon hours, they tend to have more of a higher DC to AC ratio in order to just flatten that duck curve. So it depends on the inverter. So it depends on the designer. So if you see a warning here, this is not bad. This is only telling you that the DC to AC ratio is higher. Of course, the inverter is always going to clip at this value. So at the MPPT, I would say it will clip at 12. My apologies. It will clip at 12 kilowatt, but for MPPT. So for three MPPTs, 12 and 12 and 12, that will be the complete 36 kilowatt. Discussing rapid shutdown devices on the roof and rapid shutdown solutions and UL 3741. So as we mentioned, our inverter are compatible with AP Smart rapid shutdown solutions. We have two rapid shutdown solution, which is either 1-to-1, so one rapid shutdown device for each modules, or the other modules is the D20, where you can put up to two modules per rapid shutdown. And please make sure that you are using the correct rapid shutdown device. If you are using the first rapid shutdown device, then it has to be 1-to-1. You're not going to be able to use two modules per one rapid shutdown device. We've seen, unfortunately, some of our customers where they use Y connector and force two modules in one rapid shutdown, and that will create issues with the rapid shutdown. And most likely, the rapid shutdown will fail within a few weeks or a few months. So please try to avoid forcing the rapid shutdown to receive more modules than it can handle. As we say, the wiring box will come included with the transmitter. The transmitter is what's going to communicate with the rapid shutdown and send the signal to turn the string off or to activate the string. If you happen to have an installation where you don't have, need rapid shutdown devices, let's assume that you have an installation where you're using for carport, for example, or for ground mount. So in that case, you don't need to install rapid shutdown devices on the modules, and you still can use a wiring box with a rapid shutdown transmitter. It's not really going to affect the string. If you're not comfortable with it, you can easily disconnect the power from the wiring box. And we do have an application note on how to do that. But most of our customers don't really bother because honestly, it's not going to affect the string at all. UL 3741 is a standard that aim to provide some space, some room, and some space that will allow you not to use the rapid shutdown devices. Now, this standard is relatively new, and it's not really adopted by most of AHJ. So before you go ahead and design your system and utilizing this standard, please communicate and talk to the AHJ and just make sure that they are accepting this. Of course, during the permitting, they should review this and they should flag it if they're not going to pass it. But let's just the standard is very strict and has a lot of requirement. For example, the inverter itself need to be located on the roof, about 2 feet away from the array. All the strings in the array needs to be continuous. You should have no gaps more than 2 feet between the arrays. So you really have to find the perfect roof to be able to utilize 3741. But let's assume that you found the perfect roof, and let's assume that the AHJ is allowing it. Now, the third piece of the puzzle is that are we certified to utilize 3741? The certification is actually does not involve the inverter manufacturer, and we're not the party that needs to get this certification. The party that needs to get the certification is actually the racking manufacturer. So on the racking manufacturer's installation manual, if you go to the hazardous material addendum at the end of the installation manual, you will see a list of all the inverter manufacturers that are UL 3741 listed with this racking manufacturer. And if you see our name there, then you'll be able to utilize this code, and you're not going to have to use rapid shutdown devices if you meet the other requirement that we discussed earlier. So this is, for example, our product line, and these are some of the most famous racking solution out there. You can see, for example, with Iron Ridge, we are listed with all of our racking. PanelClad, same thing. And when it comes to Unirack and some other manufacturers, we are either partially listed, or we are still in the process. I mean, it's better to say that the racking manufacturer is still in the process of testing the racking with our inverters and getting them approved. So yes, this is actually, there's a very good chance here that you will be able to save, reduce the cost on the project. But at the same time, you just have to make sure that you discuss all that we discussed. You need to make sure that the AHJ is accepting it. You have the perfect roof, and we are certified, because if you move forward assuming, then you're going to have a lot of issues. So you're not going to pass inspection, and you're going to delay, and you'll have to take all the modules and retrofit the rapid shutdown. And it's going to be a headache. So it's better to be prepared. Better be safe than sorry. Discussing the monitoring, I'll be discussing the monitoring briefly. Our monitoring solution is it's considered a basic monitoring solution, for our monitoring, we can daisy chain up to 32 inverters and one card. There's three major components of the inverter, which is the network card, and then the monitoring surface itself, and also the SIM card. If you're not able to provide an Ethernet connection, you will have to get a SIM card to provide you with the internet connections. The last thing I'm going to mention briefly is repowering. And repowering project, whenever you see a repowering project, please tread carefully and contact us. This is actually an engineering project. It's not a simple swap, especially when you see a 600-volt DC strings. 600-volt modules will create a lot of issues and a lot of challenges, mainly because you're not going to be able to meet that VMP for the inverter that we mentioned before. Like, your voltage VMP per string is probably going to fall off, and it's going to be lower than the inverter VMP, and that will create unnecessary clipping, and will reduce the overall production. So the three challenges is the voltage mismatch, as we said. Either the 600-volt modules, you're not going to be able to string them to 1,000 because they are rated for 600 volt. Maybe the wiring is also rated for 600 volt only. So that's the voltage mismatch. There's also grounding mismatch. Some of the older modules will require the modules to be either negatively grounded or positively grounded. And our inverters are ungrounded inverters, so that's also going to create some issues and some challenges. And the last thing is the AHJ requirement and AC requirement. Some of the AHJ will require you to retrofit rapid shutdown devices there. So that's something also to consider. I think also for our installers, our service department and resources are very important. And we beefed up our service and technical support team. We have six electrical engineers, by education, our waiting line for contacting our technical support is averaging 15 minutes. Our resolution time is within 30 minutes. That's including RMA sometimes. There are some complicated issues where they need to be sent to our engineering department to discuss. But overall, we beefed up our technical support requirement. And one thing that I would recommend is that if you are, because they are located in Chicago and Illinois, so if you are able to contact them as early as possible in the morning hour, then you are guaranteed to get in within 15 minutes. And yeah, and if you need any other technical questions, especially pre-sale, I'll be the guy to contact, and John LaVille as well. If it's on the field and after pre-sale, that's when you contact our customer support. So that's basically our PBI line, and I will go back to John LaVille if you have some comments, and we'll see if we can answer some questions for you guys. Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you, Hatem, for that. So that is the what we have today, Erez, and it looks like there's some questions in the chat.
Let's start maybe with rooftop inverters qualifying for domestic content. Is there any plan to have that portion made in the US? 50%
Currently,
or
there is
more?
no plans for that.
Sounds good.
Do you want to ask me the questions, Rez, or do you want me to
Yeah,
read?
sure. I mean, you can read it.
What is the relationship of the 1,000-volt PVI inverters that Hatem just talks about to CPS? The products appear to be similar to the CPS lineup. That's a really good question. So, Solectria, and this relationship goes back many, many years. Solectria is CPS's largest customer, and they're our original design manufacturing partner. So, although the inverters look very similar, they're manufactured in the same warehouse. There is a separate listing, and you cannot mix and match. And if you buy CPS inverters, then you must call CPS for service. And if you buy Solectria inverters, you call Solectria's service department. So yes, very similar, but not the same. Is the rapid shutdown auto reset? I am not sure. Hatem, can you, do you know? I don't know about.
Yeah, the rapid shutdown does have auto reset, and also the rapid shutdown, there are sometimes with some inspector, they have issues with the rapid shutdown being connected during the commissioning, and they would like to test it. So we do have both a rapid shutdown auto reset and then a rapid shutdown disconnect as well, just for the inspections purposes. Of course, the rapid shutdown should always be toggled on and left on. That's up to the code.
Perfect. Thank you for that. When next question, when will the inverters be listed for UL 1741 SB? What they already are and have been for more than a year. So I guess my question back to you, John Golden, would be what inverters might you think are not 1741 SB? It's all we have all the listings. You can contact us if you need that. But all your Scout Selectric inverters are compliant with that rule. Erez, did you have something to add?
Oh, no, I'm just
Okay.
cleaning the list. But here, John is responded.
So, will you have any hybrid storage options in the future? So, currently, our storage solutions are based upon our 1500 volt utility scale inverters, and we do offer a AC coupled and DC coupled solutions, but the projects tend to be pretty large, and the customers seem to be developers that we're working with those solutions. So the hybrid storage offer that Renvu offers with like Fortress Power and Solark, we don't have anything for commercial like that, unfortunately.
Sounds good. John here says that the question about the UL was based on the website, so I don't know if there is something that needs to be updated there. Hey, let's see if anybody have more questions. Some time. Otherwise, you can send questions to the Solectria team or to our team, and we will facilitate the communication with Solectria if needed. Thanks, John and Hatem. We will share with everybody the recordings in a few days. The webinar was great. I learned a lot. I hope everybody learned about the offerings from Solectria and the options that are available. Let us know if you have any pricing or design questions. We'll be happy to send quotes or help with a preliminary design for a project. Thank you, John. Thanks, Hatem.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Rez. And one more thing I could add just in leaving. Currently, we have availability in all of the inverters. So available for immediate shipment from Buffalo Grove, Illinois, or a Renvu warehouse. But we have stock. That wasn't always the case a few years back during the pandemic. But we've solved those problems, and our availability is very good these days. So thanks again, everybody.
Thank you, everyone, for your
Great.
time.
Have a great rest of your week, buddy.